good afternoon, everyone. My name is Claire Atkinson. I'm a graduate student at the University of California, Davis, working in the lab of Elizabeth Mitchum. And my research focuses on improving post-storage walnut quality by understanding water activity relationships. So a little bit about walnuts in California. We are the sole producer of walnuts in the United States, and we are second in the world after China. The global export value for California walnuts is $1.4 billion, which surpasses that even of California wine. Walnuts are third highest exported commodity after almonds and dairy in the state. Internationally and domestically, people are starting to recognize walnuts as a so-called superfood. So the consumption is increasing and consumers are recognizing these health benefits. All of this is leading to an increase in production. So production is up, yield is up, and crop value is all up over the past few years, meaning that there's a lot of walnuts that are coming in out of the orchards during the harvest that occurs during the fall. These are stored year-round for processing and distribution until the next harvest. The monounsaturated fats and omega-3 fatty acids that make walnuts such an attractive health choice also make them prone to a lot of problems during storage. We have problems with oxidation of lipids leading to rancidity, textural changes, microbial activity, and kernel darkening resulting in lower prices or refusal of product. The delicate nature of walnuts and the propensity of these to go rancid really limits the usage of walnuts in other markets such as snack food products. Trail mixes or granola bar producers won't include walnuts if it has the ability to make their whole product go bad. So we wanted to look at a concept that affects a lot of these quality issues in walnuts. So we came interested in understanding the water activity relationships. Water activity is the amount of free or unbound water that is available to support the metabolic activity. It's a ratio of the vapor pressure of a substance to the vapor pressure of pure water. So it's measured from 0 to 1, as you can see on this stability diagram down here. Water activity influences many of these issues that we're interested in, and so we want to understand how these relate specifically to walnuts. Different processes are affected in different ways, like on this stability diagram, so we want to see where walnuts fit in specifically. So our project objectives: survey the industry to find out what practices are currently being utilized, and if they use water activity. Determine the effects of temperature and relative humidity on storage. And establish the relationships between water activity, moisture content, and rate of deterioration. And then we also want to recommend the optimal storage conditions for the individual walnut varieties and develop a mechanism to predict the rate of quality loss. In surveying the industry, we found that walnuts can be stored anywhere from 6 to 12 months. Walnuts that are cracked and stored as kernels are usually stored in refrigerated conditions, but walnuts that are stored as whole walnuts or in shell are often stored in silos at ambient conditions. We found that no processors that we surveyed control relative humidity at all, and some of them expressed experience with the quality issues that we are interested in, so kernel darkening, mold development, and rancidity. As many as 88% did not know what water activity was at all, nor measure it in their facilities. And 0% of our respondents used water activity to tailor storage conditions. So our project examines a lot of factors of walnuts in storage. Walnuts are harvested mechanically shaking the tree. So they go through, do a first shake, and then later they'll come back in the season and do a second harvest. So we look at both the first shake and the second shake. We look at 4 varieties. Storage is both in shell and as kernels. And most importantly, and what I'm going to be focusing on in our results today, is storage at 3 different temperatures, and within those 3 temperatures, 3 different relative humidities. So in year one of our project, we looked at 20%, 40%, and 60% relative humidities. But after surveying the industry and realizing that a lot of people don't manage relative humidity at all, we added the 80% tank to kind of show a drastic effect of of storing at ambient conditions. So our walnuts are stored in these metal tanks in cold rooms, and we have air flowing through different concentrations of a glycerol solution to achieve the desired relative humidities within the tanks. Every 3 months, we do a quality assessment. We do a subpull from the tanks and analyze the kernel color, mold development, moisture content, water activity, and rancidity by doing an oil analysis and analyzing the peroxides and the free fatty acids. And in year two of our project, we also have added a trained sensory panel at the 6 month and 12 month mark. So like I said, we extract the oil using a hydraulic press, and we do chemical titrations to analyze the free fatty acid and peroxide values. This is the method that's currently utilized by the industry. It's not particularly the most accurate or the most time efficient, but this is what we use so that it's something that the industry understands. It's currently what's most utilized. Our descriptive sensory analysis consists of a trained panel evaluating 18 different attributes. We're most concerned with detectable rancidity and negative textural change, but we were kind of afraid that people wouldn't come back to our tasting sessions if they knew we were just trying rancid walnuts. So we did add some more of the more complex aromas associated with good tasting walnuts, like woody, buttery, earthy, and nutty. We're interested in how the flavor changes over time, but like I said, we mainly look at the rancidity. As you can see in our pictures, we have this red light in the sensory booth, and that's to mask any changes in kernel color in case the consumers have a bias against darker colored walnuts. Because we do have such a large set of parameters that we're evaluating in multiple time points, I'm going to try and give you a brief overview of our data so far. Moisture content, which is indicated by these gold bars, and water activity, which is the blue line, kind of follow similar trends, but not exactly. Lower relative humidities, such as 40 and 20, often have a higher water activity relative to moisture content, and the higher relative humidities, such as 60 and 80, often have the reverse. So this data we're going to look at more closely in the future when we establish a moisture sorption isotherm between the water loss and looking at the water activity and the moisture content to see how the walnuts equilibrate in their relative humidities over time. So the next three graphs have all nine of our treatments over a year's worth of storage. So I'm going to take a second to orient you guys to the colors and line types that we use. I apologize if you can't see it from the back of the room, but the gold represents our coldest room at 5 degrees Celsius. Green is 15 degrees, and blue is 25 degrees Celsius. The different line types, the dashed line is 20%. Dotted line is 40%, and the solid line is 60% relative humidity. So this is the effect of storage on kernel darkening over time, as measured by a Minolta chromometer. We use the L value, which represents the lightness to darkness of a sample. So a higher L value represents a lighter colored walnut, and that decreases over time. So our at harvest value, a freshly harvested walnut, is around 54. So as you can see here, temperature does have a pretty drastic effect on the darkening characteristics. And something interesting to note is that most of the treatments kind of tapered off after 6 months of storage, but the 20% and 40% relative humidities at the 25 degree room continue to darken throughout the full 12 months. So now looking at peroxide formation, you can see that once again temperature played a pretty obvious role. An interesting note here is that most treatments peaked after 9 months and then showed a decrease in peroxides at the 12 month mark. And this is another issue that they have with the peroxide values. Like I said, it's not necessarily the most accurate or time efficient, but it also doesn't necessarily show what point in the oxidation process you're at, because peroxides can be produced and then self-consumed throughout the oxidation process. So even if the walnuts are more rancid, as you would expect at 12 months, the peroxides could have potentially been consumed. So this is why we want to examine the peroxide value in conjunction with all the other parameters that we're looking at in order to get a bigger picture of what's actually going on. And as this is the method that's currently utilized by the industry, we want to try and find something that could potentially be better. So free fatty acids didn't have quite as many differences across the treatments as peroxide formation, but it is important to note that the two highest relative humidities, 40 and 60%, for both 15 and 25 degree rooms continued to develop free fatty acids, while the 20% tanks and 5 degree rooms stayed relatively the same. So once again, temperature has a pretty big effect on rancidity. At this point in time, we've only completed one of our sensory analyses. Our 12-month analysis is coming up, so we will be doing our second sensory session. And in order to determine, like I said, what levels of peroxide value and free fatty acid are detectable by consumers, we want to try and relate these analyses back to the rancidity. And so this is only the 6-month mark, and our rancidity is measured on a scale of 0 to 15, 15 being the most rancid. So the panelists didn't really find too much rancidity in the samples. There's a slight correlation, but we're expecting that to really develop after the 12-month mark. So the project is ongoing. We still have the 12-month analysis and the 12-month sensory. But following that, we will be creating a moisture sorption isotherm to model water loss or water gains throughout storage. And we will be doing further studies beginning this fall into the processes of lipid oxidation within the walnut. So we'll be doing some volatile analysis as well as looking at the different enzyme activities. And we will be looking at treatment options and packaging options in an effort to slow or delay the process of oxidation to develop a safer, more stable, and better quality product over time. Thank you. We have sensors within the tank that we check daily, and sometimes, especially when we take walnuts out, it takes a while for the walnuts that are still in there to equilibrate again, so we either add more water to the solution or we use drying beads as well to really monitor that and make sure it's at our desired relative humidity. Yes, ma'am. That's one of the things that we're really excited for. We just got a new GC, so we're looking at establishing methods for doing the hexanal, and then this future project we'll be looking specifically at hexanal and maybe some of the other volatiles, as well as the enzyme activity, like I said. We did manage to save some from this project that we're going to go back and try and run with the hexanal, but that our next project will be focused on correlating those that data. Edible coatings? That's something that I'm really interested in using. So that's potentially something we'll be exploring in our next project. So I think that has a lot of potential, and the walnut industry is looking. The walnut industry is really trying to break into the snack food market, which is something I didn't really consider before, but walnuts aren't really present in granola bars or trail mixes yet. Thank you very much. Okay.